Recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Fire up the projectors, turn on your TVs, and adjust your antennas. It's time for the Screen Addicts Podcast with your hosts, Chris, Steven, and Jeremy.
And welcome back to another episode of the Screen Addicts Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Chris Baby Dunk Viegas.
I am Slapstick Steve Sosa.
I am Jeremy, Mr. Chow Awaits.
I threw y'all off, didn't I?
Yeah, a little bit.
That was good.
Oh, but tonight, I know the nicknames were kind of weird, but tonight we are honoring funny moments in movies. We're going to give our list like we do of our three favorite funny scenes in a movie in honor of the movie Blockers coming out. Have y'all seen it yet? Have y'all checked it out?
Nope. Not yet.
I was wanting to, but I didn't get around to it.
Have y'all heard anything about it?
I actually heard it was pretty funny, that it was received pretty well.
I heard it was pretty damn funny.
Okay, we'll get on that and give you an update probably next week. One of us will watch it next within the week, more than likely.
Pretty sure.
Probably one of us Movie Pass guys should watch it.
Yeah!
But before we get all into that, how we usually do, our recently watched. And Jeremy, go ahead, man.
Oh, I watched a couple things. First off, I watched this documentary from Netflix, Jim and Andy, The Great Beyond. It's about Jim Carrey's experience playing Andy Kaufman in the Man on the Moon movie he made. It was pretty good. I liked it. If you enjoyed hearing about what Jim Carrey had to say about what it took to be Andy Kaufman and everything, and how big of an asshole he was on set to everybody, especially when he was Tony Clifton. But yeah, I also watched Sam Worthington's new Netflix movie, The Titan. And I don't know why it's called The Titan. It should be called Humanoid Hybrid from the Genetics Lab.
That's a much better
title. Because that's too long.
I like it.
That's pretty much all it is. But if you want to say they make it to Titan eventually in the hour and 40 minutes of the movie there is, okay, you get 20 seconds. But yeah, it was a shitty movie. And just today, actually, I watched the new Deep Blue Sea, Deep Blue Sea 2.
Oh my.
It is terrible. It's got Sci-Fi Channel level CGI. The acting is just U-bowl wonderful. It's god awful, terrible, and the whole idea of it: this psycho dude wants to like genetically make sharks' brains better. Or, like, recode their brains on a genetic level so he can, like, cure human diseases or something.
Well, that was kind of the premise of the first one, right? They wanted to cure Alzheimer's by experimenting on brains or something?
And this dude got all crazy, like, he wanted to be able to control the sharks and that didn't work out too well. Especially after the big mama shark gave birth to baby sharks.
Oh, my.
That's really all I got. Oh, besides the Masters Golf Tournament. I watched that.
and y'all's beloved wrestling, but we'll save that for here in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Of course you would. All right, let's see what I got. I watched the new Trading Spaces. Yay! I was hyped for that, too.
Boy, were you? You sent us that text like, "Who's watching Trading Spaces tonight?" I'm like, "Just you, buddy."
On an island there, buddy.
Man, I'll be on an island a lot tonight. I have a feeling. But no, man, I really liked the show when it was first. I think it was on in the 90s. Just got into that design aspect of it. I guess it was fun to watch. I turn in my man card when I watch the show, obviously, but it's still fun.
Is that the one with Ty Pennington?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I finally concluded my quest of finishing The Office.
Cue Office theme music.
Yes, but it is now over. And I can honestly say that I didn't miss much.
Wow.
I got into it because I wanted to give it a chance, and after I got about 3 or 4 seasons in, I was like, well, I just have to finish it now. I've already invested too much time. And overall, man, it wasn't horrible. I mean, I enjoyed a lot of it. I don't know if I'll go back and ever watch it again. Probably not. But
dude, I have to commend you, though. I mean, just for you to still stick it out, especially after 9 seasons of 20-plus episodes per season.
Oh,
man, yeah. that's a pretty long haul, you know? I'm on the opposite end of that. I loved The Office. I thought it was good. Even post Steve Carell seasons weren't as good, obviously, but I thought they still held it together until the very end. But, man.
How long has it been off the air?
Let's see. I think it's been off for almost 4 or 5 years now. It's been a while.
Has it? Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to talk about the last episode, and if you haven't seen the last episode of The Office, I'm sorry, but spoilers, I guess.
You're well past.
Hey, I just want to give a warning just in case.
Like, Chris just watched it, you know?
Yeah. I texted this to Steven, right when I started the last episode, I was all, if Steve Carell does not make an appearance in this episode, I will riot. I will be pissed. But he did. He came in, and it was a good cameo for him, and I like the. I can honestly say I like the way they ended the show. You know, you get a bunch of those sitcoms and shows like that that. You know, just end abruptly sometimes, and they don't end very well. This one ended well. I can say that about it. Like, I don't need to know any more from the characters, what happened after the show was over, or anything like that. They wrapped up everything in a nice little bow, and it was done.
You know, they were going to do a spinoff of Shroot Farms. But, yeah, that didn't materialize.
Yeah, they don't need to.
I didn't think that. I thought that was an odd way to go about it, too. But yeah. I'm kind of glad they didn't do that either.
Yeah. But I think that's about it for me, man. I don't think I watched anything else. And if I did, I guess it wasn't that good for me to remember.
Right.
So, what do you got, Steven?
Okay, man, I have decided to go ahead and do the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, run through of films before the Avengers. And I'm not going to be sitting in a theater for 31 hours doing it either. I'm doing it at my own pace, in my own house or office, wherever. So I started with, obviously, Iron Man. And I watched Iron Man, The Incredible Hulk, and Iron Man 2 this last week. And I'll probably get around. I don't know if I'm going to watch Thor again, because I just watched both Thors right before Ragnarok came out. I'll definitely watch Ragnarok again, but I might bypass the Thors just because I just watched them. But so, yeah, I'm doing that. Iron Man 2, I just kind of remember that one being a lot worse than it was. It's still
shitty.
Yeah, it's still not that great, but it wasn't. I'm like, well, this isn't as bad as, you know, certain other movies that have come out. So, but it's still not. It's still not on the level of 1 and 3. But, I also watched this movie on Netflix called Sandcastle, and it stars Henry Cavill and Nicholas Hoult, and it's this Netflix produced movie, and it was set during the backdrop of the Iraq War, I guess during 2003, and it was just pretty good. It's just these, kind of reminded me a little bit of Jarhead, a lot of trigger happy guys just wanting to see some action, and they're real abrasive and stuff, but it was pretty good. I also watched this new show. Oh, Jeremy, you've got to check out the show Legion. Have either of y'all watched Legion by any chance?
I haven't. I've heard about it.
Is that series on Fox?
No. Legion is it's
a
on
Netflix
FX.
Show, right?
No, it's on FX. And Noah Hawley, the creator of Fargo, does it. And it's basically him doing a superhero show. And it's about mutants and stuff. Oh, my God. And Jeremy, if you like Fargo, which I know you do, it's basically Fargo with superheroes. It's crazy good. I was like, oh my God. I felt like I was sitting on this one for a while. I heard that The Gifted is still pretty decent, that X-Men show, but yeah. I still haven't picked that one up yet. I don't know. Chris, did you
ever get around X? I watched the first 3 or 4 episodes, and it was decent. Yeah. It wasn't bad, but I guess I just fell off of it. I got too busy to stay caught up with it. I need to go back and watch again, because from what I watched, the 2 or 3 episodes that I watched, it was really good. So,
yeah. And, that's funny, because I was thinking about, for some odd reason, I stopped in the middle of the last season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and just never started. I never picked it up again. But for some odd reason, I started watching it again. So I'm almost caught up to the current season that it's on, which I guess is 6.
Which is about to be over.
Right. So I'm
It's season 5.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. So I guess I'm on season 4. Whatever the last one is that's on Netflix. And it's pretty good. I was like, okay, it's picking up a little bit more. It's pretty good. But I also watched this movie called Phantom with Ed Harris and David Duchovny, who it's about these Russian submarine captains. You know, they're battling for information. It was okay. It was just a decent action or decent war movie. But of course, last night was WrestleMania, the granddaddy of them all for professional wrestling fans. And I don't know, man. It was a 7-hour show for one.
That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
It is way too fucking long.
Yes. It started at 4 o'clock. And 4 o'clock was the pre-show. They call it the pre-show, where they do like the preview of the event.
The kickoff show.
Yeah, the kickoff show. And they call it a kickoff, and it's a preview, but then they still have matches on it.
Yeah.
So you're still watching matches on the kickoff show. So technically, it's still part of WrestleMania. So essentially, it started at 4 and ended, what, like 11:10, 11:15?
Well after 11 last night.
And I'm just thinking, this is insane. Like,
it's never going to end.
It started out really good, too. It started out really strong. But then
those last two matches.
Few were crazy.
Oh, my God.
Just, I don't want to get too far into it, because I know a lot of people don't watch wrestling, but just really weird choices being made there. And a lot of, I don't know. It was, but I will say Ronda Rousey did great. She was the highlight of the event, as, you know, from the press releases, we'll say. And, she did really good, man. She's going to have a pretty promising career there if she sticks it out. So,
yeah.
But, other than that, man, that's all I really had.
We had 7 hours. Where was WrestleMania this year?
This year it was in New Orleans.
New Orleans.
And it was there back at WrestleMania 30 back in I guess it was 2014, because that was the one that I took my son to. That was his first WrestleMania. Actually, that was his first live wrestling event altogether. So, wow, he hit the high mark. But that was my second WrestleMania. And when I found out how good the card was turning out to be, I thought, man, maybe we can get two tickets to go, because we have a condo there in New Orleans for our company. So we could have just stayed there, no problem. But it didn't. You know, we didn't turn out that way. And plus, I'm kind of glad we didn't make the trip.
Yeah.
It really didn't. The juice wasn't worth the squeeze so much. But
we had a friend there, right?
Yeah, we did. We sure did.
Oh, Richard. And if y'all remember our wrestling episode that we had, mm-hmm. he was our guest. And so he was at WrestleMania. He was sending us some pictures and video of the happenings. So that mm-hmm. was cool.
Yeah, that was great. Him rubbing his face, my face in it. The jerk.
Hey, at least by the way it turned out, you didn't miss much.
I was so glad. I was like, man, I'm exhausted. I was like, saying, hey, we could record last night, but man, by the time that was all done, I was just spent.
I was in bed.
But yeah, that's all I had this week.
Cool. All right. So we're moving on, and we just got a couple of headlines. Nothing too much, but as always, here is our headlines with Steven.
Thank you, Chris. And our first headline of the week is some box office news. The first one being Black Panther is now sitting at number 3 overall highest domestic grossing film of all time. Incredible work. It surpassed Titanic. It sunk the Titanic,
The Black Panther sunk Titanic.
It sure did. And not only did he win yet another big box office weekend, Chadwick Boseman was the host of SNL this last week and did a skit that I conveniently, for this episode, laughed my ass off watching, which was his segment called Black Jeopardy, in which he played King T'Challa as a contestant on Black Jeopardy. And I don't know, I thought it was so damn funny. I was laughing nonstop.
It was great.
And for him to play it in character was great. I don't know how they're able to do that. Like, I guess they just, I don't think rights are an issue with character.
I wouldn't think so. Probably since
for a bit they probably
it's just a little comedy bit, and I'm sure they don't care.
But yeah, that was pretty good. But speaking of another box office success, A Quiet Place, written and directed by your boy Jim Halpert from The Office. He wrote, directed, and starred in this film that hit number 1 with $50 million, pretty much making a profit in its mm-hmm. opening weekend, because I only think it cost like $25-30 million to make. It was a pretty minimal budget. I mean, considering how something like The Avengers coming out in a couple weeks costs like $1 billion. But for a movie like that, I like when a lower budgeted film prospers, because it allows filmmakers and production companies to say, hey, if we just generate good stories, creative stories, good acting, people will go and see it. And, you know, because it's like Get Out, for example. Like, this could potentially be this year's Get Out, because it was hitting at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. The critics, the fans, everybody universally loved this film. Mm-hmm. And it basically, like, the reception that Get Out got last year, critically praised, fan praised, and it ended up being nominated for Oscars, and it didn't cost hardly that much money to produce, and Get Out made over $100 million domestically, and this A Quiet Place looks like it's very well going to be doing the same thing, so it's pretty good. Moving on to another film that was a box office blockbuster, and it is Mom and Dad, which was covered on this very show with our Indie Flick Fix. Nicolas Cage went out on an interview, and they had asked him about his experience with Mom and Dad, and he went so far as to say, you know, I don't really believe in sequels and making sequels to my movies, but I would love to do Mom and Dad 2. He's like, I feel like this story has more to tell. And I'm like, okay.
No more crazy Nick Cage. Bring it on.
No, it needs to die.
Chris, did you realize it has 73% critical rating on Rotten Tomatoes?
Are you kidding me?
No, man. I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. That's hilarious. But, you know,
that movie's awesome. What can I say?
And then this one, he's got, not only is he crazy Nick Cage, but he has a partner in crime in Selma Blair. So they kind of.
I know.
I mean, mom and dad. They're crazy mom and dad. You know, I as much as I think he's lost his mind, which he more or less has, I would probably still watch Mom and Dad too.
Hell yeah.
And but, y'all will probably make me watch it. So
of course.
Yeah, well, it will be definitely the first sequel or original and sequel that we have done for our Indie Flick Fix review. So it's bookends, man. We have to do it. We have to.
And then when they franchise this shit and make a 3 and a 4 and a 5, then yeah.
No.
Mom and Dad, the 5th anniversary. I would probably watch that shit too.
Yeah, I would.
I mean, Jeremy,
I'm gonna have to put my foot down one day.
One day, yeah. You know, Jeremy and I are the type of guy that we went to Hollywood Video and rented shit like Evil Ed and Ice Cream Man. I mean, so we don't really have much of a boundary when it comes to stuff like this. We'll watch anything. But my last headline that we had is an episode of Dateline that premiered last Friday on NBC was hitting home to you fellas, as it took place in Amarillo, Texas, with a, what did they call it, the Pink Gun Mystery.
The Pink Gun Mystery, yeah.
It was a pretty good episode. I didn't realize it was 2 hours, though.
No, me either.
Damn, this is long. Like, 2 hours? And it seemed like they showed a lot of the same stuff, but, you know, Sonya is obsessed with watching Investigation Discovery Channel, so a lot of those stories are an hour long, you know? So I just assumed, oh, okay, well, this will be an hour long, too. But I was like, 2 hours? But it was pretty good. It was kind of funny, because where is Helium? It was out on Helium.
It's going towards Bushland.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going towards Canyon.
No, it's going towards Bushland.
Helium's out on the west side.
Isn't that by, like, Tascosa Road, aren't
no,
you?
No, it's right past the mall. It's right past Sonsi.
Okay. What they're working on out there right now, construction-wise, they're going to extend the loop out to Helium Road.
Oh, okay.
And for those of y'all that don't know what we're talking about in Amarillo, right. Yeah. Sonsi's pretty much the edge of our town going west. And
that's
so,
where the loop starts.
So they're just expanding on that out there. But at the time that this murder happened, or this mystery happened, there wasn't too much going on out there. There was a little bit of construction, but it's picked up a lot now. But
oh.
But you know, I didn't know, but if this was filmed within the last two or three years, I got to make an appearance on this show.
Dude, sort of. I guarantee you did. No one else in this town has the Batman logo over their Ford emblem on the front of their F-150.
Of their black F-150.
Yeah, no. That was totally you, dude.
And so, I mean, if it was, like, I traded that truck in a year ago. So if they had filmed prior to a year ago, then it was definitely me and my truck.
I'm sure they did.
So your truck has had more screen time than any of us.
Exactly.
Yep. Well, national screen time. I've been on the news a couple times.
Oh, yeah, of course. National, of course.
But that was fun. Like, when it came across, I was like, hey, that's my old truck. So I had to rewind it and pause it.
Take a picture.
Yeah, I was all like, that is my truck. It was pretty cool. But, yeah, man, that mystery, like, I had heard about the murder and everything. I never knew the story behind it.
Yeah, man. It was just so bizarre. Like, that guy was just such a I don't know, man. Just, I don't know. It was, I mean,
it's
Amarillo for you, I guess.
Dude, no joke. Like, our last two big things in the national news are because of murder. Please, come visit Amarillo, everybody.
Right. Yeah, between Bomb City and this, it's just like, let's roll out the welcome wagon. You know, it's funny because, like, Florida gets a bad rep, too, because the only time anybody ever talks about anything in Florida, it's some crazy murder, gun shooting, or some dude's eating somebody's face off.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's Florida's insane.
Yeah, so it's like, man, are we just generating the news for people? But there's still a lot of nice places. I mean, we do have Disney World here, you know?
There's a Disney out in California.
Yeah, that's true.
Dude, what I didn't like, and they do it a lot, especially if there's news stories and stuff about anything in Texas, unless you get into your big cities like Dallas or Austin or anything like that, if you talk about anything smaller than those big cities in Texas, we're automatically cowboy hicks that wear cowboy hats and boots all the time.
Oh yeah, dude.
It's something that we just have to deal with.
Do you not have a cowboy hat, Chris?
Oh, dude, I look like Shanghai Noon over here, bro.
Jeremy, you should be Owen Wilson.
No.
It's our next Halloween costumes, yeah. Jeremy. Come on.
Cosplay no. Shanghai Noon.
No. Oh, my God. That's where I put my foot down.
Damn, that would be amazing.
No.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
You will not see me dressed in Western garb. I'm sorry. Never.
But, yeah, I see what you mean, though. That stereotype is, like, it runs rampant, man. Just really harsh. You know, that's why I liked how Bomb City was showcasing a different perspective of citizens in the area, you know? I was like, okay. Because, you know, it's like the people that I talk to, like, especially the theater crowd and, you know, people putting on plays and stuff, like, they're very artsy, very, you know, unique. They don't fit that stereotype of, you know, shit kicker cowboy and stuff.
They're different.
Right. And it's just, it's nice to see that. I mean, granted, in Bomb City, he got, you know, murdered by a preppy, you know, wealthy white kid, but, you know.
Well, that's just one of the typical Amarillo High assholes that's around here.
But it's just one of those things, you know, you have a stereotype and it just fits.
Have to embrace it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. It is what it is.
It was funny because I was watching that too thinking, man, I don't know a lot. I guess I know some people like that, but the people I still talk to aren't like that at all. But okay.
Oh yeah, not even close. But
man, that's all I had for this week's headlines.
So all right, so heading into our indie flick fix. We kind of touched on this movie the last couple weeks, I think we've mentioned it, or it may have just been last week. But I once again got talked into watching a movie that both of these guys picked.
Well, and hey, can I say real quick that Jeremy wanted to do this grim ass Stephen King adapted film, which I will say, Jeremy, was fantastic. So
it's fucking good.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So we'll talk about that one later. But then I was thinking, why don't we do a funny one? Considering we're doing a comedy episode, I think it would be a little fitting.
So we watched it's a Netflix original. The Game Over Man.
Game over, man.
Thank you. I was about to say, you've got to say it like
that.
Bill
is
Paxton.
The only reason I watched it. I was like, I saw the title and I was just had it in my head. I was like, game over, man. So that I immediately watched it.
Anything that's named after a quote by Bill Paxton is worth a viewing.
I know.
But okay, the synopsis here for Game Over, Man. And after reading this the first time, I'm like, this does not even... No, it doesn't match. But here it is off of IMDb. Three friends are on the verge of getting their video game financed when their benefactor is taken hostage by terrorists. Does not explain this movie one bit. A little bit. I mean, it gives you...
Kind of.
Oh, just... I'm going to let y'all take over and I'll fill in.
Okay, so basically what it actually is about, the creators of Workaholics, the three guys that star, write, and produce, and Kyle Newacek, who's always behind the scenes, he has an ongoing role in Workaholics. They decided to write, produce, and direct this movie together, pitched it to Netflix. Netflix loved it, so they produced the film and released it through their, obviously, platform. So what it is the three workaholics... It's easy to call them workaholics because they're still pretty much playing the exact same role. And they're all part of the cleaning service in this very fancy high-rise hotel. And they're just, you know, like Chris said, they want to get a video game made. It's a ridiculous game, but nevertheless, they still have a dream to get it produced. And well, they're working, you know, doing their job, and then all of a sudden this... these terrorists take over the hotel, close it down, very a la Die Hard, very spoof of Die Hard, and it's very intentional with those jokes, too, because it's just hilarious. And so basically there's this, what is he, a prince, an Arabian prince?
He's big.
Yeah, he's
just
bay.
He's bay.
He's actually apparently he's a big Instagram influencer too, I guess, right?
Yeah, he's a social media star, but he is the prince of a wealthy Saudi king, so these terrorists decide to confront him, hold him hostage just pretty much so they can get money out of him, and it's crazy. So then the Workaholics guys decide to be the heroes and, you know, save his life, and oh my god, just...
And much death ensues, and there's penises all throughout the movie,
which
everywhere.
Which is really our favorite part.
Lots of schlong.
I mean, it's just... I know Jeremy and I are actually on the same spectrum with this, but, man, I laughed my ass off. Well, see, I was a big Workaholics fan, so you watch Workaholics. I mean, this is basically just an extended episode of Workaholics, you know, and...
Instead of them working in a dingy office, they traded it in for dingy maid jobs.
That's fair. I mean, I don't want to get into too many spoilers, as we don't with Indie Flick Fix, but I personally feel like if you're not offended by much...
If you don't get offended at all, I mean, you'll be fine. If you get offended by anything, probably don't watch this movie.
Dude, what was the part where towards the beginning of the movie, this guy who... They don't explore the character, but we're supposed to know his name's Action Bronson, and he just does and eats these, like, man versus food challenges, and he just scoops up this kale, puts it in his mouth, doesn't chew it, spits it back out, and he's just like, that's fucking delicious, man. It's just so stupid. But I'm laughing at every joke. I mean, and of course, there are some particular scenes that I'm sure you hold in high academic esteem, Chris.
Man,
speaking of tossed salads.
Oh, man. I would like to apologize on the behalf of Screen Addicts to anybody that watches this movie.
Seen it.
On these two guys' recommendation, don't watch it with kids, ever.
Yeah. Why not? It'd be a good educational
no,
experience.
No, it would not.
Unless yeah, they're in eighth grade and they need to know about the birds and the bees.
You can explain autoerotic asphyxiation.
You know what they ought to do? They ought to replace those videos you watch whenever you're learning about human health and anatomy and sexual education, and just watch this movie.
Please don't.
I'm revising the curriculum as we speak.
Okay, so final ratings and recommendation. I'll go first. I will give it 1 star. I won't even go turkey. I mean,
well, turkey is kind of one.
Yeah.
One and a half. Then.
Okay.
One and a half. I can't believe I watched this again. Not again. I can't believe y'all made me watch this the one time.
Hey, so it wasn't Romeo and Juliet.
That is true.
Buddy, you want to go down that well. I will recommend you some Troma movies.
Oh, I know you will. I said, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, so obviously you preferred Killing Gunther over this one, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Okay.
100%. Don't watch it with kids, like I said. It's, yes. Wait till they're at least 16.
This is a hard R. Hard R.
Hard R.
So hard.
I don't recommend it watching it alone.
What?
It'll be weird if you watch it alone. I'm done. Y'all go ahead. Jeremy, what's your rating and recommendation?
3.5. Yes. Find this movie. Watch this movie. This movie is fucking hilarious.
I share the sentiments of my buddy Jerome. I give it 3.5 stars. And I say, with a disclaimer, that if you like crude and offensive comedies, like raunchy comedies, something very National Lampoon-esque, you know, very raunchy stuff, I suggest you watch it, because it really is funny if you don't take yourself seriously at all.
Very true. All right, cool. So, as we head off into our main topic, our final topic for the evening, what we've been building to, our favorite, funniest scenes of all time. Guys, this was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I know for different reasons for you, Steven. Apparently, you had a whole list that you had to narrow down. I had trouble coming up with 3. And Jeremy, I think you said you have 3 right off the bat, right?
Yeah, I fired off 3 right off the top of my head.
Okay. All right. So then, if you're ready, let's go. Jeremy, what is your number 3?
Number 3. I'm going with The Hangover. And a scene in particular in The Hangover, which it doesn't matter what mood you're in. When you see Ken Jeong jumping out of the back of that car butt-ass naked, it's hilarious. It just makes you gut bust laugh every time.
Not bad.
Yep.
What was his name? Mr. What was
Mr. Chow.
Mr. Chow, yeah.
Why does everything to you that is hilarious have to deal with naked men?
Man, you must love that scene in Borat when he fights naked.
Oh, man. All right. Steven, go ahead with your number 3. I'm literally still trying to think of a number 3.
Okay, my number 3. Since they share scenes in the bathroom, I'm going to double this one up. The first one is from The Naked Gun, when Lieutenant Frank Drebin is giving a speech to the city council. So it's a packed room. He's having some issues with his microphone. So he gets his replaced with a remote microphone that you just keep in your pocket and hook up to your, your lapel on your suit. So he gives his announcement, very professional, And then he's like, oh, no, would you please excuse me for a moment? So then he proceeds to go to the bathroom, forgets to turn off his mic, and takes what's probably the longest piss in the history of the world. And the mayor is trying to give her speech, and everybody can hear everything that's going on in the bathroom as he's trying. I mean, it's just ridiculous, but I laugh every single time at that scene. And another scene similar to that is in Dumb and Dumber, when Lloyd Christmas, played by Jim Carrey, gives his good old buddy Harry the laxative in his coffee, and then he goes to pick up, you know, Lauren Holly, and then it just hits him. And he just, like, runs into the bathroom and has just this power dump. And I know this isn't the most refined comedy, but damn it, is that just the funniest thing.
He destroys that poor toilet.
Yeah, he literally breaks it. And she's like, Harry, the toilet's busted. Zooms in on his face. And he's just, like, trying to take it apart. He's like, flush, you bastard. That's my number three pick. Thanks.
Are you going to be able to keep it together to finish?
Man, this is so tough because I just like see those scenes and I just want to laugh, but I will be as professional as possible.
Okay. My number three, I think I'm going to have to go with the 40-year-old virgin when he's getting waxed.
Oh, nice.
Oh, man. Like, it's so funny because, like, if you ever been a guy, if you've ever felt how it feels to be waxed, it hurts like a son of a bitch, man. And
have you
I only
been
say
waxed, Chris?
I'm about to tell you, okay?
Okay.
You know, my wife has done it a couple times. I mean, the leg thing, you know. And I made fun of her. Dude, quit being a wuss. It doesn't hurt that bad. She goes, do you want to try it and tell me? Sure. Can't be that bad. Oh, it is bad.
It hurts, doesn't it?
Oh, it hurts so bad.
Oh, yeah. It's hair being pulled out by the roots.
And it was just on my leg and my
and
I could just imagine what it is to feel like getting you, especially if you're that hairy.
Oh yeah.
Couldn't do it.
And the Brazilian. Man. Oh.
Was it your leg or was it somewhere else, Chris?
It was not my third leg, it was my second.
Yeah, not a full Brazilian like you
no.
Said.
Well, that's my number three, the wax scene in the 40-year-old virgin.
All right.
All right. Steven, go ahead. Start off round two, man.
My number two is from a scene from one of my all-time favorite comedies, Tommy Boy. Now, while this movie's filled with laugh-out-loud moments, which I still laugh about, the scene in particular is when Tommy and David Spade's character Richard are on their sales routine, or you know, their sales meetings on the road, and Tommy thinks he has one nabbed finally after many, many negatives and, you know, get out of my offices and, you know, have you eaten paint chips as a kid, this and that. He finally feels like he has one. He's about to have a sale, and then he sees a nice set of model toys on the guy's desk, so he uses these toys as a way to showcase their brake pads, and you know what happens when you use their brake pads. Oh, that was close. You know, it doesn't do anything. He's like, now here's what happens when you use another guy's brake pads. You know, they're driving around, and then he just damages it, says all kinds of ridiculous stuff. Even goes so far as to light it on fire just to further prove his point. And that scene, man, I lose it every single time. I remember when my kids were old enough to watch that with me, and I'm just dying laughing. I'm crying. They're looking at me like I'm a psycho. But then they get it. You know, they get it. So my number two favorite scene is the other guy's brake pad scene from Tommy Boy.
Okay. My number two, and I just thought of this, and I just brought it up, and I remember how much I laughed. So it's a scene in Road Trip when the skinny dorky guy, I forget his name,
DJ Qualls,
is talking about how he got laid that night. And then he talks about he got her panties. And he brings out this huge pair of cheetah underwear. And everybody's face on the bus or the van or whatever they're driving. Oh my god, dude, it's just so funny.
Did you kill a cheetah?
But he's so happy because he's finally got some, man.
He's like, she gave it to me, and then he manages to smell it.
Oh god.
You know, and man, I love Road Trip. Like when Stifler's getting his prostate milked. I mean, I just, god, that movie is so funny. So damn funny.
Yeah, so the cheetah underwear from Road Trip. That's my number two. All right, Jeremy, what do you got?
Okay, I'm going with Ed Wood. And Martin Landau, in particular, when he's playing Bela Lugosi. And the scene I'm talking about is when he's sitting in his chair. They're getting his makeup ready for the scene. And then the dumbass makeup guy has the audacity to say... he liked him as Boris Karloff's sidekick. And then it's just Martin Landau greatness after that.
Oh, yeah. Man, I'm really surprised you didn't say the octopus scene. I am shocked by that.
There's just so many damn good scenes with Martin Landau in there. Yeah, there's a reason he won a damn Oscar for that movie.
It's very true. I'm not going anywhere near that goddamn thing. Man, that was a hell of a performance too.
Karloff.
Yeah. His mortal nemesis.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's a great movie, man.
Cool. All right, Steven, before we go off into number ones, we asked the question out into our social media world, what are somebody else's favorite scenes?
Yeah, I had a couple here from Twitter, and one was from our good buddies at the Still Popcorn Podcast. They recommended Will Ferrell in Old School when he gets shot with a tranquilizer gun. Which, yeah, that's pretty... And you know something crazy? With that recommendation, we have three movies between our list, all directed by Todd Phillips. So, clearly Todd Phillips is the voice of our generation when it comes to comedy. I also had one from a follower of... Screen Addict Steven Eford, who his handle's incredible. It's at @KungFu_Elvis on Twitter.
Yes,
he's always posting good stuff. He says the gasoline fight that sets up in Zoolander, where, you know, for some random reason they're having the gasoline fight and one lights a match and they all blow up. And oh, Jeremy, you'll love this one. He says the dildo scene between the devil and Saddam in South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. Which is great. And we also had one on our Screen Addicts Fanatics page on Facebook. Our good buddy, Joey Lomely, he says here, in quote, "I lost it in Ready Player One when they released Chucky." Fair enough. Eddie Murphy yelling "Good morning" in Coming to America, and young Frankenstein when she says "sedative," which, yeah, all three moments he gave us quite a bit there, and all three are fantastic.
Oh, definitely.
But Sonya, my wife, also, I asked her, I was like, what would be one of your favorites? She just said The Burbs. I was like, yeah, that makes sense, because she laughs nonstop throughout that whole movie.
Ooh, I got one Stifler running down the stairs in American Pie 2. Dildo.
That would be one of your favorites.
Yet again, something with the male anatomy for Jeremy is hilarious.
Man, your Freudian speak is all over this, Jeremy.
People demand rubber dicks.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. You know, I asked Tasha the same thing. You know, what was some of her favorite fun? She couldn't think of one. But we did end up cracking up laughing because I was all like, well, if I can't think of movies, I'll just tell them I'm going to throw an Audible and just do some TV show moments, right?
That's not bad, yeah.
And right off the top of my head, and when we were talking about these, we were just laughing so hard. Three scenes from Friends with Ross. The leather pants episode.
Oh, yeah.
The episode where he's trying to get the couch up the stairs.
Pivot!
And then the episode of where he goes and gets tanned.
Oh, and he gets the wrong side. Yeah.
It's so funny. I love Friends.
The holiday armadillo! Ross had a lot of great moments like that.
Oh,
man.
He really did. All right, so number ones, and I will start this party off with the number ones. And my number one funniest scene in a movie to me comes from the movie Bridesmaids. Okay. Right after they finish eating the Indian food. And everybody has to shit so bad.
See, pooping is funny.
And she's in the sink. Like, the biggest girl is in the sink. Oh, my gosh, dude. I could not keep it together. And then she ends up... Oh.
No, I think I do. I liked when Maya Rudolph is just, like, slowly walking in the street and just sits down and just... Let's it go, man.
Oh, I've had those moments before.
Wait, what?
I've had those moments before where I couldn't hold it no more, man.
Had to
and
go
I was
in
just
a
like,
sink?
I had to go wherever there was a place to go.
This is why they call you Atomic Brown.
We won't get into it because it's gross. But,
right.
Yeah. Sometimes you just gotta go, man.
Fair enough.
Just gotta go.
I respect that.
All right. Jeremy, what do you got, man? Number one.
Okay. My number one, it's not from a comedy per se, but it's a funny scene nonetheless. And it's pretty much the opening scene in Pulp Fiction. Any scene that Sam Jackson's in is comedic gold. And this one in particular is just great. And it's the scene where he's telling Brett, "Say what one more time."
Oh, yeah.
And, well, he does. And things happen to him. And that's just the opening scene of the movie. It's a great scene.
You know, it's I like how you mentioned that, too, because Tarantino has a lot of really good scenes like that that are darkly comical, but yet you're like, and Pulp Fiction, man, it is just filled with stuff like that. I mean, getting a head's dude blown off in the backseat of the car, it's just such dark comedy, but damn, you're like, oh my god, should I be laughing? But that's pretty funny. Man, I like that. Because I guess we should have said that, you know, this did you know, these scenes could extend to any genre because
Oh, definitely.
It doesn't matter, you know, because if something's funny and makes you laugh, that's kind of the whole point. But man, that I love that movie.
Yeah.
All right, Steven, number one, man, what do you got?
Oh, man, my number one pick. I wanted to do something from Black Dynamite, but I couldn't really pinpoint something. But something just triggered in my mind. I was like, wait, this is a classic pick, and I still laugh my ass off when I watch it. And it is from Monty Python and the Holy Grail, when King Arthur fights the Black Knight. It's just, it's madness, it's chaos, it's comedic brilliance, and I love every bit of that scene. It is the funniest scene, and I lose it every time I watch it. I remember the first time I watched it, I was just dying laughing. I was crying. I still laugh. And the Black Knight's reaction after having both arms and legs cut off in the fight, still talking shit. It's just
we'll so call funny. It a draw.
Yeah, we'll call it a draw. He's like, oh, running away, you yellow bastard. I mean, it's just, it's so funny, man. I love it. I love that movie, and I love that scene.
One rabbit stew coming up.
Oh, man. Don't get me started. This will go 3 hours.
Jeez. Cutting y'all off.
Oh, yeah.
All right. That brings us to a close. And what a way to close, man. That's such a great movie. So funny.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't think of a better one to end this episode on. But before we sign out, fellas, do y'all have anything else before we head out?
I'm good. I mean, I do like to put like an end cap to our picks, saying that, you know, a lot of these are very subjective and they kind of come at the moment, you know, but there's so many funny scenes and so many movies.
Oh, God.
I just, you know, I just love movies, but that's about it, man.
Cool. Jeremy, anything?
Yeah, no. That's it.
All right, I have a couple things before we sign out. Again, guys, we are coming up on our 100th episode, and we would really, really love to hear from everybody that listens to us. Shoot us an email. If you're a podcast person or one of our podcast peeps, it'd be awesome if you could record just a little snippet, just, you know, saying one of your favorite moments on the show, or anything like that. Guys, just can shoot us that email or that video, that audio clip to screenaddictspodcast@gmail.com. And we would love to have a show filled with just some fun things to read on our 100th episode. I have to plug one of our friends really quick. It's almost been a year since we've had a Brock from You Can Rewind It podcast. Alexa and Brock, his wife. We found out then that he has never seen The Sandlot. And this week, they remedied that. And their episode on The Sandlot will be coming out either tomorrow, well, it's today, Tuesday or Wednesday, I should say. But I'm so excited to listen to that, because that's such a great movie. And I can't believe it's taken him that long to see this movie.
But at least he's finally taking care of business.
That's
stepping
right.
Up to the plate, if you will.
That's all the housekeeping I have. So, guys, since you were here, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. We'd really appreciate it. And since you're here already, go ahead and leave us a review, 5-star, 4 stars, whatever you'd like. We prefer 5. That just helps us get seen out in the podcast world a little bit more and helps us touch the lives of so many others. Probably not, but we'll see. Also, if you want to interact with us, we're all over the social media world. We are on Facebook and Instagram. All you have to do is search Screen Addicts Podcast. We are also on Twitter Machine. If you will search Screen_Addicts, and Addicts is spelled ADDICS. You can find us there. And then we also, back to Facebook, we have a Facebook group page that we do love to interact with all of our listeners there. We post some trailers and some funny stuff. It's the Screen Addicts Fanatics group. Just look for that, and we should be there there for y'all Facebook pleasure. So, but as for me, I think that is it. So, good night.
Adios, amigos.
King Arthur, signing out.
Thank you for listening to the Screen Addicts Podcast. Subscribe to our show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play,